helpful for live stream, since that would be Charlie Brown's teacher if I didn't turn that on. Anybody over on this side would like to say Mark 1:17 out loud for us to hear? I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here. Go ahead, Janet. Good.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Yes, thank you. Anybody else over here? You could, if you were listening, you probably could say it. Anybody over here want to share the memory verse for to represent your side? All right. They're not taking. Well, you don't have to get up, Marianne. Just say it from there. We can hear you. All right. Thank you, Marianne. I appreciate that. So that's a wonderful verse, and it is shorter, and so you should be working on that. And if you didn't write it down last week, you can certainly do that on your own. Great verse is related to the Gospel of Mark. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All right, so Mark chapter 1, as you make your way to Mark chapter 1, our text today is going to be verses 35 to 39 as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Please make your way there. If you need to use the Pew Bible, please do that as well if you would like. Once you find that in your Bibles or in the Pew Bible, please stand with me. I'm going to read that for you. I'd like you to stand in deference to God's Word as we read this. And you can be following along in your Bibles, again, starting with verse number 35, Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. You may be seated. So Mark chapter 1, 35 through 39. I just want to make a few brief comments related to this text before we kind of zero in on our main topic today. And as you have your Bibles open, you're looking at what we just read in verses 36 and 37. It's very interesting because Jesus has prayed, and it says that Simon Peter and his companions went to look for Jesus, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." In the original language, it's almost a sense of annoyance on behalf of Peter and his companions. They're like, "Lord, what are you doing? We couldn't find you. Were you hiding?" And he's like, "No, I was praying." And they're almost annoyed because they're like, "Jesus, you're missing out on these ministry opportunities that we have in Capernaum. It's time to get back to ministry." And Jesus, I love his reply in verse 38. They say, "Everyone's looking for you. You got to come back. We got to do ministry right here, right now." And he says, "Hey, let's go someplace else." Jesus was reaffirming and just reminding them that his mission and purpose would include other places, not just Capernaum, and that he had a mission there. And so that takes place. And then in verse 39, just briefly, we note that the pattern of ministry that we talked about last week continues, where he traveled throughout Galilee, and every place that he went, he would stop and preach in their synagogues, he would heal, and he would drive out demons. So this is what's taking place, this little conversation here. But the focus today that we're going to do and our time, the focus we're going to have today is on the prayer life of Jesus. I draw your attention back to verse 35. Our focus today will be on the prayer life of Jesus, where it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So we're going to focus on that today, this prayer life of Jesus. But I do want you to know that, as maybe some of you are thinking, what about right now? Does Jesus pray right now? Actually, according to the Bible, he does pray right now. It says in Romans 8:34 that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us as believers. But our emphasis today will be on the prayer life of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And I want to start off with this one statement, and everything else is really going to kind of flow from this one statement. Here it is. Prayer marked the entire ministry of Jesus. Prayer marked the entire ministry of Jesus. It wasn't just a small part of it. It just wasn't hit and miss. His ministry was just saturated with prayer. And maybe you believe this, or maybe you've heard this before, but you haven't really kind of thought about what that means, this ministry of Jesus as it relates to prayer. And what I did this last week as I was preparing for this message, I went and started doing my own research on the prayer life of Jesus, just kind of dove into the Gospels, dove into my Bible, and was just kind of thinking about the prayer life of Jesus, because I knew that Jesus prayed, but I wasn't really kind of thinking in terms of the totality of it or the immenseness of it. So in your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, there's another insert in there. If you want to pull that out for a moment, at the top of it, it says the prayer life of Jesus. And good news for you, on Mother's Day, we're going to cover every single one in every verse. Just kidding. Happy Mother's Day. But I want you to see this, because as I went through and I did the research, I thought, wow, this is really powerful about Jesus and how he prayed. And I want you to know that this list is not everything. There's other things that you will find. But I thought this might be helpful for you to take some time and do your own little study about the prayer life of Jesus. But notice with me for just a moment or two. I'm just going to mention some of these things. As we think about this statement, prayer marked the entire ministry of Jesus. Well, what did that look like? Well, just in my brief research, Jesus prayed in a solitary place, lonely places, a designated place. He prayed privately. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed at Lazarus' tomb. He prayed in the upper room. He prayed at the feeding of the 5,000. He prayed in the mountains. He prayed in the transfiguration. He prayed over children. He prayed in the garden. He prayed in the cross. And there's more. And what time did he pray? Jesus prayed early in the morning. He prayed during the daytime. He prayed in the evening. And he prayed at night. Wow. How frequently did he pray? He prayed often, and he prayed all night long. How about the position that Jesus took when he prayed? I certainly believe that he was standing many times when he was praying, but we know for sure that he says that he prayed at one time with his face to the ground, or he was on the ground. How about the format of his prayer? He often prayed to the Father, and he prayed with tears and cries. And Jesus not only had prayer as part of his life, but he also taught about prayer. And just for your reference point, I'm going to say it quickly. Here we go. Jesus taught the enemy's prayer. He taught about secret and effective prayer. He taught the model prayer. He taught the evangelism prayer. He taught about the power of prayer. He taught about persistent prayer. And he taught about the repentance and humility prayer. Wow. And there's more. So you take that with you. That's my Mother's Day gift for all of you, moms included. But I just want you to see that this isn't just some kind of random statement that prayer, you know, marked the entire ministry of Jesus. It really did, folks. It really marked the ministry of Jesus. And as we think about the prayer life of Jesus, there's a very legitimate question that comes to mind. Why did Jesus pray? He was God. Why did he pray? Well, here's some things just to think about. You don't have to write these down. These are just kind of side notes here. But why did Jesus pray? Well, he prayed because of his relationship with the Father. He's part of the Trinity, and he had this incredible relationship with the Father that he continued while on earth, so he prayed to the Father. He also prayed because of his relationship to the Holy Spirit. You see that in his ministry. He also prayed because he was the God-man. 100% human, 100% divine, and prayer was a part of that. I would also say that Jesus prayed certainly to set an example for us as believers. And this example included to show us how to depend on the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So it's very appropriate, very applicable to understand the idea that Jesus prayed. He really did. That marked his ministry. So I would say that prayer not only marked the entire ministry of Jesus, but his prayer life also revealed some prayer priorities. And so what I want to do is, I know I'm just looking at one verse, but I'm going to take that one verse and we're going to springboard from that and talk about some of the prayer priorities of Jesus in his prayer life. We're not going to talk about his teaching on prayer, because some of those things are listed, and that could be a whole series on Jesus' teaching on prayer. But I want to talk about some of the priorities that he demonstrated when he was praying. And these priorities certainly can be implemented in our lives as well as we think about the prayer life of Jesus. So as we make our way through, again, this is a springboard from verse 35 in Mark chapter 1. Here's the first prayer priority of Jesus. Jesus prayed before important decisions. Jesus prayed before important decisions. And I'm going to have you have your Bibles ready because we're going to turn to some passages. But Jesus prayed before important decisions. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In your sermon guide, if you have that, I think your references are in there. But Luke chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse number 12. Luke says that one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Notice in these two verses how long Jesus prayed. All night long. Because he had an important decision to make. You know what that was? Choosing his disciples. And I think this is really ironic that Jesus spent the whole night praying to the Father about the decision to pick the disciples. And we see that he did that on purpose. And I see that this is amazing just because from a human perspective, when we look at see some of the people that he chose, we're like, really? Yes, he chose these men on purpose after a night of prayer. He chose fishermen. Nothing against fishermen. I'm just saying. He chose a white-collar criminal. His name was Matthew, the tax collector. He chose an activist, Simon the Zealot. He was a radical. He chose a pessimist, Thomas the Doubter. And the list goes on and on. But Jesus, I love the fact that Jesus, this important decision, he took all night to pray about it, and it was on purpose. Even the decision to choose the traitor. Because it was part of God's plan. I hope you can see it pretty clearly in our lives. We need to invest time in prayer before we make important decisions. Yes? It surprises me how often believers will make decisions pretty quickly, pretty important decisions quickly, and they almost get offended if you say to them or ask them, did you pray about it? Well, I meant to. I'd say, this is a pretty important decision. Well, I thought about it. No, I didn't ask you, did you think about praying about it? Did you actually pray about it? I need to do this, and you need to do this, because I don't know about you, but for me, I'm a planner, I'm a task person, I have a list every single day of my life, almost. I know I need help. I know. But often, there'll be some important decisions on my list, and I want to cross it off. I don't want to pray about it. I want to get it done. And my wife is a wonderful example to often remind me, stop, slow down, pray about it. I would suggest to you there are some decisions in our lives that may require praying all night long, just like Jesus. So that 30 seconds may not do it. And this is not meant to rebuke us. It's meant to challenge us to just think about the fact, if Jesus, the God-man, took all night long praying before making this decision, I probably should invest some time when I make decisions as well. It was a priority for Jesus. Second prayer priority is that Jesus prayed at the critical moments of his life. He prayed at the critical moments of his life. And I want to give you some examples, and I'll read these verses for you. And I'm not sure if I put the examples in your sermon guide, but you can write them down if I didn't. I'm just going to give you three examples of critical moments in his life when he prayed. First of all, at his baptism, his own baptism, he prayed. It says in Luke 3:21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. This was a critical moment in the life of Jesus. This was an important time in the life of Jesus. And so he chooses to pray. A second example would be at the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, 28 through 29 says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter and John and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he, Jesus, was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. And then it goes on to describe the Transfiguration. I would say this was a critical moment in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. And in the midst of this, what does he do? He prays. But he's God. He's the one being transfigured. But he prayed. He included prayer in these critical moments in his life. One other example of this is in the healing of Lazarus. And this was a critical moment. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. Maybe you could turn there with me. That would be great. John chapter 11. Let me set this up for you, this critical moment in the life of Jesus. Many of you have heard the story before that Jesus was great friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus has fallen ill and dies. Jesus delays to come. He shows up and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Mary and Martha are all upset about this, rightly so. There's people mourning. And so Jesus asks them, where have you laid Lazarus? Where's the tomb? So they take Jesus to the tomb. And so he says, open up the tomb. Roll away the stone. Take away the stone. And they're, you know, Martha's concerned about the smell and all these kind of things. But sometimes we miss this. This is why this is a critical moment in the ministry of Jesus. When he told them to move away the stone, and when they took away the stone, there was this very clear implication that something was going to happen. So what, you think about the scenario of if the stone's rolled away, and nothing happens, that's going to be a problem. So this is a big deal. This is a critical moment. And it says in verse 41, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, he's praying, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you've always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. In Jesus' name, amen. And then he proceeds to say, Lazarus, come out. Critical moment. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the power of the Word of God, but I'm just saying, in my mind, sometimes my mind goes places and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking, okay, what a critical moment. Because what if Jesus said, Lazarus, come out? Nothing. This is a critical moment. Take away the stone. Praying to the Father, I want them to believe in you because they're going to see this. Lazarus, come out. Wow. What a critical moment. Jesus includes prayer in this time. Again, just thinking about the fact that as the Son of God, he chose to include prayer in the critical moments of his life. How much more for us? Right, folks? I'm not just talking about making decisions. I'm talking about critical moments in our life. We face critical moments in our lives over and over and over and over again. Do we not? We do. Sometimes these are what I call ministry critical moments. I consider a critical moment when you're kind of around a neighbor or a family member or in a store or some other kind of setting or at work, and God has given you the opportunity to share your faith and you're having like that critical moment. And you know what you need right then and there? You need prayer. Because this is a critical moment in your life. Will you step up and share your faith? Will you think about someone to bring a frozen meal to? Didn't we say to pray about it? A critical moment that God could bring in your life, ministry-wise. We have a group of young people and a group of adults going on 2 different missions trips. These are critical moments in the life of people. We should be praying. Our ministry involvement. But there are other critical moments in our life. We all have them as it relates to our finances, our marriage, our parenting, life changes, job changes. We have children that are struggling. We have children that are walking away from their faith or struggling with their faith. We have health issues. We have aging parents. And the list goes on. And we all have these critical moments in our lives. and they should drive us to our knees. Does it make us weak to do that? No, it makes us actually more like Jesus. Critical moments, right? We need to be praying about these things. Think about it this way. We need to saturate our critical moments with prayer. And I use that word on purpose because that word saturate reminds me of that Old Testament story with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. When he went to kind of put his altar back together so God could send down the fire. And before he did that, he said, why don't you bring some water and pour a bunch of water on the altar. And that didn't make sense, folks, to pour water on a wood altar and a wood sacrifice in order to have God bring fire down. That would kind of, you know, it's counteracting. And so it says he had him do it once. Then he had him do it twice. Then he had him do it a third time so the water was just overflowing. That just came to my mind because when I face critical moments in my life, I don't need to just sprinkle those with prayer. Maybe pour a little bit over them. I need to saturate those things. And so do you. The critical moments in our lives need to be saturated with prayer. Why? Jesus did that. That was part of his life, his prayer life. Number three, third prayer priority. Jesus prayed for God's will to be done in his life. And this is not a strange statement. This is not an unbiblical statement. This is seen over and over again in the life of Jesus. He would pray for God's will to be done in his life. And I'm like, okay, if Jesus is praying this, maybe I should as well. I want you to turn to a verse in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Turn there with me. I don't know if you have these kind of moments in your study of the Bible. I do have these every once in a while. And this verse was one of those moments where I've read the book of Hebrews before, but I'm here to tell you I've never really read this verse. I'm being honest with you. I mean, I've read it, but maybe it didn't read me. And I want you to see this verse as it relates to Jesus praying for God's will to be done. And you say, well, we're in Hebrews. What does this have to do with Jesus? Because this isn't in the Gospels. Here it comes. Same thing happened to me. I'm like, whoa. Verse number 7. You there? You looking at it? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. The writer says that during the days of Jesus' life on earth. So what is that? His earthly ministry. He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, the Father, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was praying to do the Father's will. He submitted to the Father's will. And there's a couple different ways that people have approached this verse. Some would say that this prayer or these prayers refer back to the time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed to the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. Let this cup pass from me." Others have suggested that this verse refers back to Psalm 22, 24, and you can look at that another time. Because Psalm 22, 24 talks about the sufferings on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the cries and tears of Jesus on the cross, his looking for help, but his willingness to complete the mission of the cross and to follow the Father's plan, even at the cost of emotional, physical, and spiritual pain. So Jesus prayed for God's will to be done in his life with cries and tears. This is such a powerful verse because it doesn't just reaffirm the fact that Jesus was locked in on doing God's will and he prayed to do God's will, but the passion and emotion that's there we shouldn't miss. And here's what I mean by that. I have found in my life, and I'm guessing in many of your lives, that there have been times when you've tried to do God's will or you're seeking to do God's will, and it's been very, very hard. It's not been an easy thing to do, to stay faithful to God or to continue on. It's been hard. As a matter of fact, there's been times when you've been wanting to do God's will, you're desiring to do God's will, and you find yourself crying out to God, and even tears. There's times when you've wanted to quit. Maybe in parenting or marriage or other things, it's just been really frustrating. God, I don't know what to do, and I'm crying out to you, and I'm literally crying tears, but I want to do your will. When you do that, you are aligning yourself with the prayer life of Jesus. Because doing God's will can be hard. Following God's will is a kingdom battle. We've been discovering this in our men's Bible study. There are basically two kingdoms in my life. God's kingdom and Jay's kingdom. And I need prayer to be willing to reverently submit to God's kingdom on a regular basis and do His will. Because I fight real hard for Jay's kingdom. It's a wonderful kingdom, even magical kingdom. But hopefully you understand my heart here. There are times when you want to do God's will and you are hurting. Cry out to God. God, I want to do what your word says. I want to obey you. Man, the pain is so deep. Jesus prayed that way. And he calls on us to do that. Remember the words of Jesus? A lot of you memorize these words depending on your maybe church background. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The men's Bible study didn't really come up with the idea of the kingdom battle. It was in the model prayer. And you and I need to often cry out to God, help me to do your will. Fourth prayer priority is that Jesus also prayed that he would glorify the Father. He would glorify the Father. Again, I'm encouraged by these prayer priorities of Jesus because Jesus prayed to do the Father's will. He also prayed to glorify the Father, which means these things that are basic to me are things that Jesus also thought about and thought were priorities. John chapter 17, turn there. This will be the last section you'll turn to. We have two verses in John 17, so we'll get to both of those. But Jesus prayed that he would glorify the Father. John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 is part of a long teaching discourse that Jesus gives in the upper room. He's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to be arrested, unjustly tried, and beaten, and all these kinds of things that we know about. So there's a lot of things heavy on the heart and mind of Jesus. But he spends some time talking to his disciples and teaching them. So John chapter 17 and verse 1, this is part of the teaching. After this, after he taught some with them, he said, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come for me to suffer, to give my life. Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You see that? God, help me to glorify you. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. This priority of Jesus, and this moment when it really should have been all about him, humanly speaking, it would be, God, this next several hours are going to be really bad for me. I need you to come through for me. Jesus does pray about these sufferings, but he also says, Father, I want to make sure that in this moment I glorify you. What exactly does that mean for us as it relates to praying and Jesus' prayer? Well, the word glorify, let me just give you a little brief definition. The word glorify means to value God for who he is. One more time. Glorify means to value God for who he is. So prayer, when we pray, does it allow for us to adore God in our prayers, to value him for who he is? Yes, we can do that. So I would encourage you to pray and glorify God through the way that you adore him in your prayers. But there's another part of glorifying God. We also glorify God by praying that our lives would honor him. And I just want to clue us in on something. Be careful here. Because if you spend time asking God in prayer that your life would glorify him, he's going to hold you to it. He's going to hold you to it. I try to pray this often, but I realize when I pray it, I'm on the hook for it. God, help me represent you well today. Help me glorify you today. Did I say that out loud? Yes. So, as Jesus prayed to glorify the Father, you and I on a regular basis should be praying, God, help me represent you well today. I don't know. Tomorrow's Monday, maybe Tuesday. No. God, help me to honor you and glorify you today. And you're like, I don't know if I can do that. You're right, you can't. You need to pray about it. And maybe when someone is praying for you, they can pray that for you as well. Number five, last prayer priority. I love this prayer priority of Jesus. Jesus prayed for his disciples and future believers. Yay! I know that's not in the Greek, but I throw that in every once in a while. Yay! Look at verse 20 of John 17, since you stayed there. I'm sure you did. Jesus said, my prayer is not for them alone. The them is the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. You know who that is? Those of you in the room who have given your life to Jesus Christ. He prays for us as well. Yay. Throwing out those Greek words. What an incredible encouragement of the prayer life of Jesus. He had the priority of praying for his disciples and for you and I. And we don't have time this morning, but you should take the time at some point and go back to John 17 and look at all the things that Jesus prayed for us. They're incredible. There's a long list of things. So I'm encouraged by the fact that Jesus prays for us. But if we're thinking about the prayer life of Jesus and what that means for us, here we go. Should we be praying for each other? Yes, we should. We should be praying for each other. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for me. I should pray for other people. We're going to pause for a moment and pray for someone, and then I'm going to finish up with a practical kind of strategy for you this morning. But we're going to pause and pray for someone today. We're going to pray for Pastor Nick. Many of you, or some of you may know, some of you may not know, that Pastor Nick has been dealing with post-concussion symptoms for months, almost like years. And so it produces a lot of fog in his mind and thing, and he's not been able to get a hold of it, and it's been coming back over and over and over again, pretty significantly. And so tonight he is flying to Utah for a week of treatment that specializes in dealing with post-concussion symptoms 6 months out, because it's been way over 6 months since the first concussion. So we're going to pray for him right now, because I'm asking God to bring some healing into his life and the symptoms that are there, and to either remove them completely or to help him to be able to deal with them or manage them, and that'll be part of that. So that's happening, and so we're going to pray for him right now. God, we pray for Nick as he heads out tonight, that you'd give him safety, first of all, as he travels. And God, as he makes his way to this treatment in Utah, that you would allow his time there to be very beneficial, to deal with the symptoms that he is facing. I pray that the techniques and the medicine and other things that they'll be using will produce lasting improvement in his life. And I pray also, as he spends the time there, that you would allow him to represent you well, to bring you glory there, to share of his faith there, as he's going to have lots of time with these folks. So I know that he desires to represent you that way, so I pray that you would do that. And again, we ask, God, that you'd bring healing in his life. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, turning the corner here, Mark chapter 1, 35-39 is about the prayer life of Jesus. A couple things as we turn and just make some practical applications. Certainly, we would all do well to incorporate the prayer priorities of Jesus. So what do you do with this message? One of the things you could do is pick one of the priorities and make it more relevant or evident in your prayer life. But in addition to this, I would say one of the most obvious applications from this message would be, I need to pray more. But not just pray more intentionally. And so I want to help you with that. Now, I'm not going to actually come to your house, because that'd be kind of weird. But I want to help you with this. And you say, well, why do we need to do this? Well, look at this quote that I found. Very convicting for me. Here's the quote. If even Jesus needed to pray, what does that say of us? How arrogant we must be to think we can survive without prayer. I need to pray more, more intentionally, more invested in prayer. So again, I want to give us some practical ways to do this real quickly. Let me give you some context. Last August, we had a group of leadership people and lay leaders that gathered together, and we did some strategic planning for our church, some long-term planning, 18 to 24 months planning. And we came up with four initiatives, ministry initiatives that we want to launch in our church. And some of them, or three of them, were mentoring, biblical counseling, and community group outreach. Those are three of the four. The fourth one, let me go back. Those three will be introduced in some way in the next couple months. But the fourth initiative was this, and it'll be on the slide. It was called the Church Prayer Initiative. And the idea is, go ahead, go to the slide there. 60%, we would like to have 60% of our church body, not members, but people that attend, kids to adult, 150 would be 60% involved in organized prayer opportunities in 2022. Wow. So we'd like 60% of our church involved in organized prayer opportunities. Now, that's not to say that you're not already praying, but it's very specific related to organized things. You're like, well, how are we going to do this? Thank you for asking. Here are the three things that we're going to bring up today and we're going to emphasize over the next several weeks. Number one, we're going to have prayer initiative strategies. Number one, we're going to provide a prayer prompt in the sermon guide or bulletin. A prayer prompt in the sermon guide or bulletin. That will start on June 5th. What that will be is, if there's not a sermon guide, it will be in the bulletin. If there's a sermon guide, it will be in the sermon guide. It will simply be a prompt of a prayer that we're asking you to pray right before the service starts to prepare your heart for the worship and the word. And you can imagine if a lot of you do this, this is going to help us get to that 60%. I think it will also prepare us for what God wants to teach us. So what that might mean, just being pastoral and just kind of helping you out here, that might mean about 1 minute before or 30 seconds before the service starts, you need to stop talking to each other and pray your prayer. Lord, prepare me. Prompt me. So that's going to be available starting June 5th, a little prayer prompt. Second strategy. Starting in June, we're going to provide a monthly church prayer calendar. There'll be something every day of the week. There will not be 12 things every day of the week because that will be overwhelming. There'll probably be just one to two things every day of the week that you can pray for. It might be a ministry. It might be praying for someone in leadership. It might be for an event that's taking place. We're going to ask you to pray for those things, and they'll come out every month. And they'll be available online and paper copy. And the good news is, if you miss June 6th, you pray June 7th. Okay, it's okay. No one's going to check whether you skipped a day or not. Third strategy, we're going to offer intentional prayer opportunities led by church people at various times and in various settings. You're like, that sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but it's not that everybody has to do everything. Remember, we want organized opportunities for you to pray. You're like, what does that look like? Well, we're going to have you pray in community group, Bible studies, pre-service prayer. We're going to have service prayer. We're going to have Christian education classes. Our kids are going to be praying. Kids ministries, Awana, when it comes back up again, is going to be praying. iConnect, youth group, leadership meetings. And if you don't know this already, we have a Monday night prayer group that meets at 6:30 every week here at church. So we have all these different things that you can tap into, intentional, organized prayer opportunities. And if you're intimidated a little bit about a group setting, you start with a calendar. Or you can start with the prompt. So we're gonna incorporate and kind of unveil these strategies to reach this goal, this prayer initiative. And one of the reasons why is because Jesus was marked, his ministry was marked by prayer. Our ministry, our lives should be marked by prayer. Yes? Absolutely. Let's stand together and we will close. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about prayer. I do pray, God, that you would help each one of us to just look at our own lives, ways that we can be more intentional in this, ways that we can highlight more of the priorities that Jesus had, And that we would do this not as just another thing that we have to check off or another thing that we have to feel guilty about, but a privilege that we have to bring our prayers to you and to pray for other people. So I pray that you would help us to do that, be faithful to that, even starting this week. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.